standing in the doorway, receiving, seeing, entering into what God has for us as his children in this season. Our subtitle is today, kind of a long one, but I couldn't make it shorter. The King Whose Great Love Healed a Broken Boy. Our text will be 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Verse 1, and David said, is there anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, covenant kindness, mercy, goodness, beauty, the Hebrew word, for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant in the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And when they called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, yes, I am at your service. The king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? Ziba said to the king, there's still a son of Jonathan who's lame in his feet. David said, where is he? Ziba said, he indeed is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. And King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now here's his name. Now when Mephibosheth, don't name your son Mephibosheth. If you don't speak in tongues, just say Mephibosheth 25 times in a row. If it worked for Coca-Cola, it'll really work for Mephibosheth. That's some charismatic old jokes, okay. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? He answered, here is your servant. And David said, my whole sermon is in the 7th verse here. We'll come back to it in just a moment. Do not fear. I will surely, without doubt, without reservation, show you covenant kindness, mercies, goodness, beauty. For Jonathan, your father's sake, I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. He bowed himself, Mephibosheth, and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? You know you're at the bottom of the food chain when you're not just a dog, you're a dead dog. David called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I've given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him. You shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord, the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat bread at my table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son, his name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem and ate continually at the king's table. He was lame in both of his feet. Father, with joy we open your word. We receive the life that you've infused into every sentence. We welcome the Holy Spirit, the teacher. Holy Spirit, you are the senior pastor of this church. Pastor your people. Speak to hearts. Unveil mysteries. Remove burdens. Destroy yokes. And heal us. Thank you, Father, for a day of healing and breakthrough. Anoint your servant, your people, in a word. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. This story, I love the story. Every few years I will touch it again. It has such a meaning to me, my own walk with God. It begins by David not having any visible or evident enemies. His kingdom's at peace because he's destroyed, conquered, ruled over all of his enemies. In fact, he's expanded the kingdom. The largest that Israel ever became was under the jurisdiction of King David. And so during this time, you think that he would just sit back and put his feet up and say, hey, everything's good. But something in his heart said, I have to share this with someone. And he had a yearning, a unrest in his heart at the thought that there's someone that could be loved and blessed that I'm missing. People often say, well, Lord, you know, Pastor, when is the second coming of Christ? And of course, if you want to be popular, just write a book about it. Write a book about the Antichrist or the beast or the mark of the beast, the false prophet. But here's what the Bible says, that the day of the Lord is delayed for one reason, so one more soul can come to the kingdom. For he is patient, awaiting the harvest. And so David represents beautifully our King Jesus. His name means beloved and anointed. And he is seated, the Bible says, far above all principality and powers and heavenly places, all of his enemies conquered. And yet his heart yearns for every one of man, his children, mankind, to know the freedom he has given them. And so he begins the search, and they begin to look, and he sends out Ziba. And Ziba says, Ziba's description of the person he found says this: there's someone living, but they're so broken, they're not worthy of your attention. They're so dysfunctional. They've had so much trauma. You shouldn't really cast your gaze there. You shouldn't reach your hand there, because are they really worthy, because they're so imperfect? They're lame in both of his feet. This boy was Mephibosheth. And if you go back in scriptures and study it, here's how he was lame. When David began to ascend, he became king of Judah, and 7 years later, king of over all of Israel. But in those 7 years, there was a long battle, a long war between the house of David and the house of Saul. David began to advance. God was with him. Saul began to diminish his house. Though Saul was dead, his works lived past him. And in so David began to dispossess parts of Saul's territory, including his own personal possessions, his houses and palaces. One day the men of David came into a palace of Saul. They're going to take it. And so there was there Jonathan's son named Mephibosheth. And he was just a baby. He was a toddler. And in haste, the servants and all the workers ran out of the house. And as they're running out of the house, this worker, this handmaiden, is carrying this baby. And as she comes to a stone staircase, she suddenly trips. And she has to make an instantaneous decision whether to save herself or save the baby. And her survival instincts took over, and she dropped the baby in order to soften her own fall. So Mephibosheth was crippled because someone who should have protected him and carried him dropped him and broke him. And you know God has a great plan for your life when the enemy hurt someone who's carrying you, so they'll traumatize and cripple you from being what God called you to be. And what happened with Mephibosheth, his whole life was shaped around early childhood. His grandpa sinned, Saul. He's living under the pain and shame of Saul. He's living in the house of Machir. In your notes, you see it. Machir means to sell as merchandise into slavery. Literally, a salesman of slaves. He's living in the house of a lie of slavery. He's living in Lodabar, which means a pastureless, lifeless desert. He's living in a dry place. He's living in a lie. He's living in brokenness. But God, through David, comes to him and said, I'm going to show you kindness, not because of you, but because of Jonathan. This morning when you were worshiping God, Papa's arms were around you. His love was pouring into you. His care and his kindness, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, not because we worship so perfectly or live so rightly. It's solely because of Jesus. Everything you'll ever get from God is because of Jesus. Your sins forgiven because of Jesus. Your body healed because of Jesus. Your life redeemed because it's all about Jesus. And David said, you're going to be the recipient of something that's not even about you, it's about me and Jonathan. They were friends. Jonathan willingly gave up his destiny. He recognized the hand of God upon David. A great example of selflessness. So the story begins, and finally they found this boy. And even though he was broken, even though he was not worth something to Ziba, to Jesus, to David, he was worth everything. God dwells in a high and holy place with him who has a broken and contrite spirit. To revive the spirit of the broken, to revive the contrite heart. Brokenness doesn't chase God from you, it draws God to you. And there is Mephibosheth. And so David said, I look for you. I'm so glad. God is so in love with you. His love chased you. Anybody besides me tried to run from God for a little period of time? David said, if I ascend the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, if I go across the oceans, you're there. There's no place. You chase me everywhere. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The God who chases us. And Mephibosheth comes before David and he's shocked. He it's so hard for him to identify with what's happening to him. And he said, King David, I don't understand why you would even care about me. A person like a dead dog, like I. Now get this. God is great. All of his attributes are unsearchable, inexhaustible. In every way, he is perfect. He never has a bad day. He never gets tired. He wearies not. His mind, his understanding has no ending. He's omniscient. He's all everything. But God has a problem. Because God can't do more in you than you believe he can do. And Mephibosheth said, I'm a dead dog. See, the way you see yourself determines the way you'll see everything else. So the Bible is a mirror. The Bible is a book of identity, not behavior. Whenever we demand behavioral change before identity revelation, we create denominational or religious traditions of bondage. You all with me? Anybody grow up? When I grew up, it was a sin to dance. So every time just to punish the devil, every time my grandkids over, I turn up really loud music and have a dance party. Now, I still don't know how to dance, but they dance. Dance for me. You're making up for all the dances I didn't get to go to. It was a sin. It was a sin to go bowling. They would measure. It was a sin if your dress was not 4 inches below your knee. It was a sin to wear makeup. God, forgive us for all the ugliness. In the name of holiness. You with me? The barn needs painting, paint it. Sorry. But Mephibosheth said, see, it's impossible to believe in a good God and then not expect the goodness of God to come into your life. So the way you see yourself in relation, so the Bible talks to us, New Testament, we're sons and daughters. We're history makers, we're world shakers. We're more than conquerors. Y'all with me? Greater is he that's in us. We're his workmanship. The Bible continually helps us identify with who we are in Christ. And David said, don't worry. I know you're struggling because of your past, but I am going to so consistently love you that your mind's going to get renewed and you're going to come out of the house of slavery into the palace of the king. You're going to sit at the table of my sons. David's sons were the most gorgeous men. Ladies, a couple of these guys, their hair, they would weigh it every year. This big, curly, dark hair. It was so rich. And they were the prettiest people in Israel. And David said, I'm pulling up a chair just for you. Here's what the Bible says. We're seated with in heavenly places. Where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. Where am I? The right hand of the Son who's on the right hand of the Father. Where am I? I'm seated right there. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Poppy. That's what the Bible says. So here's what David said, verse 7. The first point is, he said, I am going to dismantle the power of fear from controlling one more day of your life. Fear not! David said, your fearful days are over. God's not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. The first negative emotion produced by sin in the Bible in Genesis 3:10 was fear. Adam said, I was afraid. But the Bible says that God's love for this, his love for us, drives out fear. There is no fear in love, 1 John 4:18. But God's perfect love casts out, rebukes, binds, destroys, whoop fear out of you. Because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been perfect in love. God says, oh, can I say this? Forgive me in advance. God's going to love the hell out of you. He's going to love the torment out of you. He's going to love the anxiety out of you. He's going to love the stress out of you. He's going to love the anxiousness out of you. He's going to love the panic attacks out of you. He's going to love depression out of you. He's going to love every lie of the enemy. Isaiah said it like this. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Michael Charles Maiden, you're mine. When you pass through the waters, when life gets stormy, don't sweat it, baby. I'll be with you. The waters don't have power. Whatever your day demands, my grace will be greater. As your days go, so shall your strength be. When you walk through the fire, you won't even smell like you've been there. Remember when you were trying to quit smoking? You came home and your spouse said, you've been smoking. Your chance to tell the truth or lie. No. Well, how can you smell like smoke? I don't know. Someone at the office was smoking. God says, you're going to go through difficult times and there'll be no scent of the difficulty. You won't look like what you've come out of. See, when I minister to people, pastors especially, when I minister to pastors, sometimes life's so overwhelming, they just look like that. You're worthy of it all. Yeah. Are you okay, Pastor? No, I'm going to hell. God says, everybody has something to go through. Water, fire. But I'm going to pick you up. See, he's broken. He can't walk to David's palace. He can't walk from Lodabar to David's palace. He can't walk from the desert to the castle. He can't walk out of Matri's house to David's house. But David said, don't worry about that. I'll have someone pick you up. Big, strong. Just picture one of David's bodyguards picking him up, carrying him across the palace, carrying him to the table of the sons, putting him down right there. God says, my grace will carry you every place in life that you need to go. Number two, I will surely, without doubt, I will surely show you kindness. Ah, the word for mercy, the word for loving kindness, Hebrew word. I'm going to be so consistent in my behavior towards you that you're finally going to get it. Get what? God loves you. He loves you on your good days, your bad days. He loves you when you pray and fast. He loves you when you feast and watch TV. His love is not a variable based on your behavior. His love is based on his son, Jesus. And God sees you robed in the righteousness. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We were lost in sin. We had no way. We were crippled by the sinful nature, by our own sinful behavior. But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2 says, when we couldn't save ourselves, saved us. When we couldn't heal ourselves, healed us. When we couldn't get from earth to heaven, heaven came to earth. He came for us. He lifted us up. He picked us up. He carried us into the glorious place of his own house. He calls us by our name and he calls us sons and daughters. I'm going to show you kindness. David knew something about kindness. He had so richly experienced God's own kindness in his own life. Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. Psalm 63, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. I love that because one day I was reading it, and here's how it came out of my heart. The best thing I'll ever know in this life is the love of God. God's love is the best thing this life has to offer. Okay, third point. I'm so glad for Jesus. I'm so glad he saved me. I'm so glad he's driven fear from me. I'm so glad that by grace, all my sin has been removed. But it's one thing to be taken out of something. It's one thing to celebrate the glories of sins being forgiven, a redemption from the penalty of sin, eternal damnation, death, separation from God. It's one thing to have the devil removed. It's a whole nother thing to get back everything life stole from you and your family. And Jesus said, I'm not satisfied in just bringing you out of that hellhole called Lodabar. Bring you to Jerusalem. I'm not satisfied of yanking you out of nature's house into my house. That's not enough. I'm going to reach back into your past. In fact, let's go to the problem of your past. Grandpa Saul. We're going to walk back. You're almost with me. I will restore the years to you, says the Lord. And I'm going to give you everything that Saul lost. You're going to get it all back. He calls Ziba and says, everything that used to be someone else's is now his. By my edict, by my decision, by my kindness, by my authority, by my covenant with Jonathan, I'm giving that boy back everything he's ever lost. In fact, you guys that have been living in this property, kind of enjoying it as your own, you're going to work for him now. I'll restore everything. Job 42, and the Lord restored, turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Isaiah 61, 7, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in their portion or inheritance. Therefore, in their land of Phoenix, Arizona, they shall possess double. Proverbs 6:31 says, if a thief be found, yes, he must restore seven times of everything he's stolen, even if he has to empty out his house to do it. The devil's a liar. Your life's not over. Your story's not done. God's not finished. There's more victories to be won. There's more restoration to be received. There's more revelation to increase. God's got more, 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 more for you, and he's turning things around. Lastly, David, now this is, of all these four things, the one that's mentioned the most in this passage was the one that was dearest to David's heart. And David said, son, every day we're going to have supper together. Every day, my sons and my new son, you're going to sit next to me. I'll praise God for all he's done. Praise God that he's healed us. He's forgiven us. Praise God that he's restoring our losses. But folks, there ain't nothing better in all of life than being in the presence of Jesus Christ, sitting at his table, talking to God. You get to talk with God. He lives inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. God, our greatest joy in life is not just watching what God does for us. It's spending time in a love relationship, a father and son and daughter relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the presence of your enemies, he prepares a table before you. Your God loves to spend time with you. That's the whole reason for the cross. That's the whole reason for the sacrifice. Our greatest joy is to break bread with Jesus Christ and to love on him and let him love on us. Come on, stand to your feet and you've got a shout of praise. Come on, come on. We worship you, Lord. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? God, I thank you today for saving every lost person, drawing them to you and your son. Today's a salvation day, a healing day, a deliverance day, a miracle day, an encouragement day. While Christians are quietly praying, if you're here today, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, salvation is a free gift. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus did not come to tell us how bad we are. He came to tell us how good he is. If you've never received Jesus, or if you've been away from God in your relationship, we're going to pray a corporate prayer. You say, Pastor, I want to make things right today. I want to receive Jesus today. I'm going to get things right with Jesus. While Christians are eyes closed and praying, if you say, Pastor, that's me, wave your hand at me. We're going to pray a corporate prayer, but I want you to be included. Say, I'm going to get things right with the Lord today. Pray for me, Pastor. If that's you, wave your hand at me and I'll see it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, thank you, thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, church, would you say this prayer with me, please? You that raise your hands, make this your prayer. Make this your declaration. Heavenly Father, today I receive and confess your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and Lord. I believe he died to take away my sins, and I receive the gift of eternal life and forgiveness now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming inside of me. I turn from my past. I give you everything I am. From this day on, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now thank the Lord with me. Many just prayed that prayer. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, before we go today, I felt something on my first point. God is going to crush the authority and the presence of fear from controlling your life. If you say, Pastor, either currently or maybe for an elongated season, you've been struggling with fear, just with anxiety, panic attacks, just maybe fearfulness keeps you up at night. Well, wave your hand if that's you, because this is your freedom deliverance day. Thank you. Now please listen to me. Just give me 5 or 10 minutes. Everybody raise your hands. I believe that it's so essential to conquer fear before you can experience the rich, abundant life God has for you, that it was David's first point, no more fear. If you raise your hands, say, Pastor, I've been struggling with fear, I want you to come down front. We're going to pray for you down here at the altar. Take some time. Spend some time with you. Please, give us a chance to join with you and make this day a memorial day in your life. Everybody, I want you to sing the song for just a couple more minutes long. We're going to talk about God's love for us. We're going to celebrate the kindness of our God, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. hands to heaven while those coming for prayer need it. If you prayed to receive Jesus today, we want to pray for you also. If you need a physical healing in your body, we'd be honored to pray for you. If you're going through a difficult time and want someone to pray the prayer of faith for you, we'd be honored to pray for you today. Anyone wanting prayer, come on down forward. The rest of you, just a moment longer, keep creating an atmosphere for miracles. We love you, God. Come on. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us.
Over everything, it's changing. I love you. You're an awesome church. I'll be ministering here Wednesday night. Come back. Our Wednesday nights are special and unique. Don't forget to sign up or information 14 challenge. Make sure you find out what God's doing there. Support.